of the big problems that we're facing right now is that a lot of companies are using the official CDC guidelines, which are wildly optimistic about the length of this pandemic. Our best scenario is that the COVID-19 pandemic will be over in 3 years. Businesses are in emergency mode, individuals, households are in emergency mode, organizations, nonprofits, governments, they're all in emergency mode. They think this is an emergency that will, you know, finish by July or August, whatever. It won't. It's not emergency mode, it's a new normal. And this is the way that you need to think about it. This is the new normal. Just like 9/11 changed dynamics forever, we are in a new normal. COVID-19 changed our dynamics for at least the next 3 years. And this is what we have to realize. This is what we are living with. And that means that individuals need to drastically change their behavior, and businesses need to drastically change their business model.
I'm proud to share with you Tetragen, which helps you transition to a healthier, happier, and thinner you without cravings or side effects. Our metabolic hormones are the underlying problem that doom every diet and exercise program to fail. They control our metabolism, cravings, how much we eat to feel satiated, blood sugar levels, and even our energy levels. Tetragen is formulated with four clinically proven patented ingredients that help rebalance your metabolic hormones in roughly 15 to 20 days, depending on the amount of weight you want to lose. Once your metabolic hormones are rebalanced, you'll be on the path to long-term sustainable weight loss because Tetragen is the first in the world which is scientifically formulated with four clinically proven and patented active ingredients to help you reach your targeted weight in two distinct phases. Phase one, rebalance your metabolic hormones, and phase two, accelerate fat loss. The best part is that Tetragen comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose besides weight? Learn more with the link below.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Dr. Gleb Sapersky coming onto the show. Now, this is going to be a weird interview. I know it is. But the important thing is that I'm bringing somebody on the show to show you what we're in for and how the mainstream and the average person in society is going to behave. He's an expert. He has his PhD in disaster recovery. He's claiming that CEOs and people are not taking this virus seriously and that this thing's going to actually last with us for 3 to 5 years. The CDC is acting like it's going to be, you know, really quick and then over. And he's saying this is like 9/11 that changed our life forever. And, you know, of course, I get triggered from that because, like many of you, we all know that 9/11 was something more than what it was and that I don't like the idea of having another agenda changing our life. And so I don't want this to change our life either. And so the important thing is to hear what he has to say and then go, okay, how do we solve these problems so that we are not going to be, you know, locked in our homes and forced to be slaves forever to something like this. I think it's different solutions. I think it's starting to advance medicine. Let's use this as an opportunity to advance medicine, to use natural medicine, to use frequency, to use different types of science. Realize that medicine is just one area. Biology is just one area of medicine. We need to look at physics. We need to look at engineering, electrical engineering, frequency. We need to understand how all this stuff relates and not get caught into just one box of what medicine is. It's really a full, you know, science is holistic, just like anything else. And the University of Illinois put their medical school in their engineering department. From what I understand, that's what they're doing. That's great because it gets them to think differently about medicine. I'm hoping that means they're going to take a step, a leap, a giant leap past everyone and start seeing medicine differently, seeing it as more than just biology and chemistry. It's also physics and electronics and frequency and all these other things. And I think it's a time, this is a perfect time for us to start evolving and getting on. If we can use energy weapons to mess up people's minds, to stop hearts, create heart attacks, we can use that same energy with different frequencies to do positive. There's the positive side of that. It's not just the weapons. We can also use, we know it works, we can use it to do other positive things. Because we know frequency works to stop hearts. We can use frequency to start hearts. It's the same thing. And if you don't understand it, then go do your homework before you insult me and say that I don't know what I'm doing. Please, please, please go do your homework and then come back. We know MIT, I have a paper on how they converted DNA to music and back again, DNA protein to music and back again. We know all the top institutions are studying this. Sherry Edwards is decades ahead of them as far as being able, because she has that mutation, she can understand frequency. I just wish, I hope, I pray that this crisis brings us into a new era of holistic medicine and a much smarter, evolved look at science, because we're ready for it. And I don't want to be locked up for 3 to 5 years because we're idiots and we don't understand medicine and we're locked in a little biology chemistry box. So anyway, so this is a very weird, interesting interview, but it's good. And please don't insult him. Please, 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 please. Just understand that he has to do what he's doing. He's working with mainstream people. And for what he's working on and who he's working with, it really does make sense because that's where they are. They're stuck in the little boxes. So anyways, let's get into this very important interview with Dr. Gleb Sapersky. Hi, Gleb. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Sarah. I really appreciate you inviting me.
You are a disaster recovery planning expert. That's what you have your PhD in. You've done numerous books on that. You do interviews. You talk to a Fortune 500 companies all the time. And you have a company helping people plan for disaster recovery and for disaster events like this pandemic. I don't know about just pandemics, but all sorts of disasters. And you claim that companies just aren't prepared and are dealing with it all wrong. Can you briefly explain why you think that?
Of course. So the big problem that we're facing right now is that a lot of companies are using the official CDC guidelines, which are wildly optimistic about the length of this pandemic. The CDC guidelines tell companies to prepare a disaster emergency plan for a two-week emergency plan for an outbreak in your area, do things like cross-train employees in case some get sick, do things like prepare to work from employees to work from home just in case for a relatively short period. And this is a huge problem because that's not what the coronavirus looks like. It doesn't look at all like it will be a short-term thing. It doesn't look at all like it will fade in a few weeks, like a lot of companies are thinking, oh, it'll be over by April. You know, that's what I hear a lot of CEOs saying, unfortunately. Not people who are my clients. I'm telling my clients otherwise and very strongly. But other CEOs who I'm in contact with, if you see them on LinkedIn, that's very unfortunate and very bad, very problematic because of the facts about COVID-19. So the facts about COVID-19, it's super infectious, very highly infectious. Each person who gets about 3 to 5 people sick, and the disease doubles in any area when there's an outbreak. You know, for every 4 to 6 days, it doubles. So that means that's why we have such explosive growth. This is a huge problem. And COVID-19 will not fade in the summer. If we look at, it's very unlikely to fade in the summer, let's say it that way. If we look at the countries where it has spread, a number of them are warmer climates, warmer, humid, whatever. And they really didn't seriously impede the COVID-19 epidemic. About coronavirus, of course, COVID-19. So that's a big problem. And we will not have a vaccine effectively until the end of 2021, and then it will take a year to mass produce it. So that's kind of the best scenario of having an effective vaccine, fully effective, fully cures, prevents COVID-19 in by the end.
And isn't a major problem like the Ebola and SARS vaccine where it was worse than the disease itself. And I mean, a lot of people don't want to take the vaccine, and we're all concerned about forced vaccination when we're not even, a lot of people don't trust the government, so we don't, or the CDC or WHO or anything else. So we're not going to, or like the last thing we want to do is take some vaccine they're going to try to cram down our throat. But my question to you is China, do you not believe China's numbers? Because China, well, I don't know if anybody believes China's numbers, but China claims to be recovering.
Oh, China, I think, is very clearly recovering because it has such a hard forced shutdown, and because as an authoritarian government, it's able to do that, so which the United States is not. If you look at people's compliance with the shutdown orders, you know, I'm here in Columbus, Ohio, and there's been a shutdown in a restaurant. I mean, recently, just in March, of 16, the president of the country, has said, don't get together in gatherings of over 10 people. I think people are listening. A lot of people are actually not doing that. China was able to do this through authoritarian, powerful force. A lot of countries are not doing that. Italy is trying to do it, but its numbers are spiking because people are just not complying nearly at the rate that they should. So we are having a situation where the COVID-19, so like I said, our best scenario is that the COVID-19 pandemic will be over in 3 years. That's the best scenario if everybody listens to the government and the CDC, official guidelines, WHO, if a vaccine is created and widely spread. More realistically, a vaccine would be spread within 5 years rather than three, widespreadly available, and the vaccine might be as weak as the flu vaccine, which is only 50% effective. So it'll decrease the fatality rate by 50%.
Well, that...
And that's a big problem.
It is a big problem. Yes. It just means that maybe they can look at energy medicine and frequency and realize that there's other solutions. Shanghai is saying use vitamin C, high doses of vitamin C. That's their official government recommendation. C60 works 200 times better than vitamin C. We have frequency solutions. There are other medical solutions. So we could realistically get over this quicker if the mindset, and I realize that the mindset changing is maybe even a bigger hurdle than getting people to take vaccines. I mean, they just won't admit, they can't stand looking at another science. And it's not their fault. It's because they've only been taught biology. They haven't been taught other, you know, they haven't been taught how biology relates to physics and electricity and other forms of science. But we are, we have solutions. But you're saying that in our current realistic situation, this is long-term. Now, Trump did come out and say that it's probably through July or August that it'll wipe through the, but don't you think if they can keep the curve down, the hospitals can handle, they'll just say, okay, once the hospitals can handle the epidemic and it's gone through a lot of the, you know, the big spike and now we can handle it, they're just going to let us go? And people that get it? Or do you think they're going to lock us down for 3 years?
I think that will be what will most likely happen. So that's 3 years, again, is a super optimistic scenario, to be very clear. That's when we have the vaccine, it proves very good, and it's going to be widely available in 3 years. You know, it might be 5 years until we have a vaccine widely available, and it might never be the case, because if a vaccine is only 50% effective as the current flu vaccine is, you can take vitamin C to cure the symptoms, address the symptoms somewhat, which shortens the length of the disease, but it will not prevent the disease, and people who are in the risk categories, especially older people, people with immunosuppressants, various diseases, will still die at the rates of, you know, 15% or so of these people. So this is huge. This is hugely problematic.
There are other remedies. C60 will help prevent it, and energy and frequencies will help prevent it and do things for it. But your point is very well taken, because that's not where the mindset is of the average person. So getting over that mindset will be huge.
Realistically living in the new normal. And this is what people don't realize. They're in emergency mode. Businesses are in emergency mode. Individuals, households are in emergency mode. Organizations, nonprofits, governments, they're all in emergency mode. They think this is an emergency that will, you know, finish by July or August, whatever. It won't. It's not emergency mode. It's a new normal. And this is the way that you need to think about it. This is the new normal. Just like 9/11 changed dynamics forever, we are in a new normal. COVID-19 changed our dynamics for at least the next 3 years. And this is what we have to realize. This is what we are living with. And that means that individuals need to drastically change their behavior, and businesses need to drastically change their business model. And we can talk about what that means, but that is the crucial point that people don't realize. And their mindset prevents them from realizing the hugeness of the current situation.
Okay, I have normalcy bias too. And you're gonna go through this because I'm like, oh, wait a minute, 3 years, I can't, no. But I also know there's other solutions, but still, 3 years, I don't know if I could be, I'm too much of a free spirit to be clamped down for 3 years. And I think the majority of Americans are. So why do you think 3 years, I mean, you already told me 3 years, but why do you think people like me aren't able to handle this whole 3 year thing? Because you're saying I haven't, because I clearly am in that camp. I have a normalcy bias and a cognitive bias. What is a cognitive bias?
So cognitive biases are the dangerous judgment errors that cause us to make poor judgment about the future, about our reality. You know, I'll give, and they all stem from how our brain is wired. So our brain is not wired for the modern world. It's naturally, you won't be surprised, the modern world has really been around for only the last century, even less. We have not had time at all to evolve for it. Our brain is wired for the hunter-gatherer society. When we were living in small tribes of 15 people to 150 people, you know, hunting, gathering, all that stuff. So our response to threats is called the fight or flight response. That means that we, when we see a threat, we want to jump at 100 shadows in order to get away from that one saber-tooth tiger. You might have heard of it as the saber-tooth tiger response. So the saber-tooth tiger response, the fight or flight response, causes us to be very good with short-term emergencies. You know, go out and do some panic shopping for all the toilet paper that you can get. But it's terrible to compensate for long-term slow train wrecks like the COVID-19. And that's what we're with right now. We're dealing with a long-term slow-moving train wreck. That, and there are specific cognitive biases. Cognitive biases are the dangerous judgment errors that cause us as individuals to, and our organizations, of course, governments, businesses, whatever, nonprofits, to make bad decisions as a result of the way that our brain is wired. So with COVID-19, there are three particular dangerous judgment errors, cognitive biases, that we need to be aware of. Like you said, normalcy bias. So normalcy bias refers to the fact that we judge the immediate future by the immediate past. So with 9/11, as in the classical example, most people didn't realize how much their lives would change after 9/11, immediately after 9/11. And I remember this because I was looking at how people were responding to it. They didn't realize the kind of changes that would be there in their lives. And right now with COVID-19, the vast majority of the population is just thinking that it'll be a short-term thing, blow over in a few weeks, you know, by July or whatnot. So that is very, very problematic because we don't tend to understand the kind of disruption that's caused by these slow-moving train wrecks. So that's normalcy bias. Another one is called the planning fallacy. The planning fallacy refers to us really wanting to trust ourselves, trust our plans. We think we're good people. We think our plans are good. So we think our plans will come true. And we don't really revisit those plans when we need to revise them because of major, major situations. So right now, a lot of businesses aren't looking at their strategic plans. They are in just emergency mode. So they're thinking, we'll get through this emergency. They're not thinking, hey, what we need to do right now is to change very broadly our long-term business model and our long-term strategic plans. So that's businesses. Individuals aren't thinking about, hey, how will I cope with this, given that it's going to be at least 3 years, and that's very optimistic. More realistically, 5 years, even potentially my whole lifetime. How will you change dealing with the fact that you will be socially distanced from people for the next 3 years? How will you deal with it? How will you cope with your relationships? How will you deal with the fact that you will need to support your loved ones, many of whom may not be understanding the kind of severity of the pandemic that we are facing? So that's another one, planning fallacy. Another one, the last one, is called hyperbolic discounting. Hyperbolic discounting refers to excessive discounting of the future. We're very short-term oriented. It's natural for us with our primitive savage brains, because that's what we're adapted for. That was very good for our ancestors, really to, you know, they didn't need to, you know, when they killed a mammoth, they couldn't freeze it. You know, they couldn't invest into professional development and axe chipping. We are in a completely different situation where we can invest into ourselves, our professional development. We can make long-term plans because our environment is much more predictable, generally speaking, and we can invest resources, save resources for the future. So we, in our current environment, we're doing the natural and primitive thing when we undercount the long-term, prioritize the short-term, and we're not doing the civilized thing. We actually need to do the civilized thing, which is focus on the long-term, understanding that the kind of short, if we have a short-term priority in mind, we'll really sacrifice our long-term, and that's terrible.
Well, now, if we really have this dire, if it's a five-year term, then people need to get off their behinds and realize there's solutions that are different than what the mainstream medical establishment is saying, so that we can be free. Because you're talking about us not having freedom anymore, and this is a major thing. People are upset with what happened after 9/11 because they don't believe the government narrative and that they feel like it was crammed down our throats. This one they're going to be upset about because they believe it's a bioweapon and that there's an alternative agenda here. So we are not going to be okay with our freedoms being taken away from us when we believe there's other agendas going on. So we need to take this into our own hands and say, okay, A, we have solutions, medical solutions that allow us to maintain our freedoms and be able to be close with people and get off our butt and learn about these things. And B, figure out how to fight this horrible dictatorship that's being crammed down our throat. It's a different way of looking at it, and it means we need to grow up, mature, and realize how we can fight this, because the last thing I am ever going to do is allow us to be slaves in our own homes. So you are right that we're facing this, but that means that we need to, and I'm telling now you to get out of your box, and see, there's some other solutions here too when it comes to medicine and how we can get around this authoritative situation that we're about ready to be in. And that there's alternative solutions, because I am not going to allow my family to be slaves like this or people I care about. But I think you are a wake-up call saying that if we don't start looking at this thing different and we allow the mainstream to take over and do their things, what you're saying is the reality.
Yeah, so what we need to be thinking about, whatever you, for your family, you want to be focusing on, understanding that this is a new normal, this is what we're in, and how will you cope, and how will you protect your family, how will you protect your relationships, how will you protect the future? That's what I talk about decision-making in my book, Never Go With Your Gut, How Pioneering Leaders Make the Best Decisions to Avoid Business Disasters. That's about decision-making you make, strategic planning, or The Blind Spot Between Us, my new book, which talks about relationships and how do you protect your relationships. So think about those things. Relationships are really the most important thing we have in our lives. Like you said, protecting our families, right? Protecting the people who we're close to. So think about how you will protect them and how you will protect yourself. Because this, especially if you are someone who is over 50, or if you care about anyone who is over 50, or someone who is immunosuppressed in any way, those are the people who will get sick and die in large numbers. And you want to help and protect them. So think about everything from getting supplies to disinfectants to long-term care solutions, maybe secure a residence outside of a dense city that's in the middle of an outbreak, stuff like that. I know some people who are already doing that who are smart and prepared ahead.
Well, and it's the elderly. My parents are 80, so I care about them.
They have
the C60 diffuser, so it goes right into their lungs, and they use it twice a day, and then they have the C60 gel caps, because I'm making sure, because what's happening is that you're getting that storm of radicals, that are free radicals that are happening, and then that huge surge of inflammation, which are shutting down organs. And the C60 just is like a vacuum cleaner for those free radicals and for inflammation, and it's really, really helpful. That's why vitamin C is so good in high doses, because it's the same sort of concept. C60 is just that much better than vitamin C. And if you do it as a preventative, you're going to be, of course, I'm not a doctor, and I can't do this, even though I'm an engineer and a scientist, I can understand it. I'm not legally, so you got to listen to the mainstream that says wash your hands and good luck. But in general, that's what I, you know, that's what people are doing, and that's what I do for my parents. But I was thinking about it way ahead of time too. And so if you have a parent that is, or somebody that's older, nursing homes, you get them on this as fast as possible and share the cost amongst many groups. But I really thought it was important that you got on, because I think it's the reality of the mainstream that we're dealing with. And you say that CEOs just don't know. They go with their gut. And so their gut is telling them 3 weeks and it's over. What's that going to do to their business? I mean, we're going to have a disaster, an economic disaster.
Yeah. And we are. We already are. We can see that CEOs are just tiding over. They're thinking, you know, it'll pass. They're listening to the official CDC guidelines, which tell them to, you know, prepare for a short-term outbreak. They're not realizing that what they need to do is change their business model, change it in the long term. To the extent that they're relying both internal and external, they want to be thinking about how can they not send their workers home for 2 weeks, but change to mostly work from home, mostly virtual internal organization. And that involves things like securing your data, of course, from hackers who are going to be very much trying to exploit the many, many workers who are working from home, everything to providing various services to your employees who are now going to be working from home instead of coming to the office. Two, of course, including how are you going to engage with your clients, with your customers, virtually much more now than you were before. So think about these things. And think about changing your strategic plan for the long term. What kind of supply chain disruptions will you experience? Think about that over the next 3 years, at least, more likely 5 years, potentially the rest of your business's lifetime. What will kind of disruptions will be there? And what do you need to prepare for? What do you need to plan for? You want to be ahead of your competition. If you move now, you will gain competitive advantage. You'll be much further than your competition. You'll be able to prepare to seize their market share as they're not prepared and they kind of fall on their butts. And you will be able to, you will instead be able to seize their market share, as well as once they start laying people off, you'll be able to hire good employees. And if they go bankrupt, buy their property at a fire sale. So be ready for that. Be prepared for that. And you will be much better off than others who aren't.
Well, at some point, if you think it's going to be 3 to 5 years, at some point, that'll more people are going to die from an economic collapse than the actual virus. So we got pretty smart people up there that are running our country, I hope. I think Trump's pretty smart. I don't know if all these other people are. And I don't know if they're going to allow something to last that long. I think they might say more people are going to die from an economic collapse. We are going to go forward, and we're smart people, start looking at these other alternatives, and we're going to open this sucker up. And people are going to die. A lot of people die from the regular flu every year, but more people are going to die if this economy totally falls apart. What are your thoughts on that?
I think the economy is not going to fall apart if CEOs realize, eventually they'll realize that the advice coming from official channels is wildly optimistic, and they need to be prepared for some really much more serious situations. Some of them, some of the small businesses will definitely collapse. Medium-sized businesses, some of them will collapse. You know, perhaps some cruise lines will go out of business, and we know that some airlines are already going out of business. So some businesses will definitely collapse, there's no question about it. But larger businesses have enough cash in hand to be able to weather the situation, even if the CEOs make some terrible decisions, which definitely happened. I mean, look at, I mean, there's lots of terrible decisions at CEOs. Boeing has made some terrible decisions with 737 MAX, but it's not yet bankrupt, right? Most likely won't be. So this is how you want to be thinking. You want to know that you can be much further ahead than these other CEOs whose businesses will be hobbled, and you as a small business owner can be much further ahead of small business owners who may well go bankrupt if you take the steps that you need to take right now to protect yourself and your business and prepare for the long term and prepare also to seize that competitive advantage. So any one of us should be able to do that. If you're an individual who is not a business owner, you should be investing into your career transition. Learn right now while you're sitting at home and not spending as much time, you know, going to bars. Take some courses in online communication, online teamwork, online collaboration. Be much more prepared for the virtual transition. If you're in a career that does not allow virtual interactions, you might think about right now switching your career. This is a good time for it, and you have time to do the professional development that would require you to do so. So any one of us can take steps that are under our control. You know, I can't control what Trump does. I can't control if Trump will be reelected or not. I don't know. I have no idea what the CDC will do. I can't control that. I can't control what the leadership of the country has done. I'm not impressed by some of the moves recently, and the market is clearly not impressed by, we see how much it's tanking.
Well, the market, so, the market's responding to the virus, not to any, I mean, I think that's completely disjointed from, I think anybody in office, this would happen.
It might be. So what I'm saying is, we don't know what the people in power will do.
That's true. That's very true.
We have no idea what they will do. So what we need to do is do what we can with what we have. And any of us can control our professional career through directing it, strategic planning, thinking about the long term. Any one of us can control our household. And of course, some of us who are CEOs can control our businesses and leaders in businesses. You can control the relationships that you have, and you can improve them. You can be ready for much more virtual interactions rather than, you know, thinking that it'll pass in a couple of weeks. So think about all of these things and take what's under your control and make the changes that you need to have the best long-term life, keeping in mind this will be at least 3 years, more likely five.
You know what they should do? Businesses should, because they're not going to want the businesses that need employees to come in, they need to look for people who UC60, use natural supplements, are very, you know, that are doing this the right things to protect their health, and understand frequency and are using that alternative, and then just hire those people because those people can come into work, they're going to be healthy, they're going to be all these things, and you'll be fine. I mean, I just think that we need to create another whole segment of society that are healthy because they're doing all the right things, and let the mainstream kind of screw around for 3 to 5 years. I mean, if that's really what we're looking at. So I'm, you know, I know this is a weird interview for you because you weren't expecting me to be kind of out there in science and medicine and stuff, and you were expecting to talk about things more like you are, but it's actually very good because I want people to understand where the reality is going to be for the most of society, because that's what they have to plan for. And so it's a very good interview. What do you see already that CEOs are doing that are bad decisions? Some of the big ones.
Well, I think some of the biggest ones are that CEOs are just hunkering down. So for example, they're right now telling a lot of their employees, just keep working from home, think about that. They're not protecting their data for the employees working from home. And hackers are already going to be taking advantage of the kind of information leaks that are going to be happening. You know, corporate security is going to be screwed. A lot of accounts will be breached. So if you are in a role that allows you to influence corporate policy, please bring it to the attention of your corporate leadership, you know, or if your corporate leader influenced that. If you are in the role of an ordinary person, you might be preparing much more in the future for a whole bunch of security breaches. So this is a good time for you to, if you're using 1Password for all of your websites, make sure to change that password and use different ones for a lot of different websites, because some of them will be breached and you don't want, you know, the website that you use for buying, I don't know, gifts for your mom to then allow a hacker to have access to your bank account. So that's the thing that you want to be thinking about as an ordinary person. That's one example.
That's a great example. Because that's going to affect everybody regardless. And society's moving in that direction anyways. So you got to get that figured out. But they should have been getting that figured out before now. But anyways, it's never too late to, well, it's too late to start, I guess. But you got to start now. You shouldn't wait any longer. Keep going.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one thing that CEOs really need to be thinking about. Another thing that they need to be thinking about is changing their internal organization. So a lot of organizations, of course, all organizations that have internal work people working in the office, there's a lot of communication that happens in the water, over the water cooler, in casual everyday conversations, that problems are solved, that relationships are cultivated, that teams are actually built, and people aren't doing that anymore. They're just kind of home, sitting isolated, doing their work. So what's going to happen with those relationships? What's going to happen with those problems that were solved when people were talking over the water cooler? How will you deal with that? How to manage that? You need to create alternative venues for people to talk about these things and to interact with each other, to build relationships and to solve various problems. Because right now, those problems are going to be much bigger than before because of the disruptions, and people don't have their typical ways of problem solving, dealing with issues. This is a very serious issue.
Yeah, it is. Well, people aren't used to working this way. Well, I guess FaceTime and all those other virtual meetings, they'll get used to it. Okay, well, where can people get more information about you, get your book, all that stuff?
So my book, The One on Decision Making, is called Never Go With Your Gut. You can get it in bookstores everywhere because it's been published by a great traditional publisher called Korea Press. So all physical bookstores everywhere. And, of course, online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble for audiobooks and Audible. The book on relationships, The Blind Spots Between Us, is also published by a great traditional publisher called New Harbinger, great psychology publisher. So again, physical bookstores everywhere, online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, audiobook on Audible. Now you can find out more about me on disasteravoidanceexperts.com. Again, disasteravoidanceexperts.com. There's blogs, videos, podcasts, decision aids, guides, manuals, speaking, consulting, training, coaching. Of course, there's much more of the virtual coaching, consulting, training right now with the situation. And you want to especially check out disasteravoidanceexperts.com/subscribe for a free 8-module video-based course. So 8 video-based modules on making the wisest decisions, the wise decision maker course. Finally, I'm highly available on LinkedIn, quite active there. So connect with me, or any questions you had about anything you heard in the show, or so connect with me there, Dr. Gleb Sipursky, GlebSipursky.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you for giving us this dose of reality this today. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Sarah.